Good morning, everybody. Good morning. We are happy to be back here at Shannon Hills after 2 weeks where we were off in not only another state, but on another nation, the Navajo Nation, the reservation out there in Arizona. And we had a great trip, and we're excited to share about it with you guys this morning. There's several people that are going to be sharing from the pulpit this morning about their experiences and things that went on. But before I let any of them come up here, I want to share, and I also want to let you know that just because these are the ones that share don't mean they're the only ones that have something to say. So anybody who's wearing one of these t-shirts or somebody who was on the trip that might not be wearing a t-shirt, talk to them about it. Ask them about the trip. Ask them about what made an impact in their lives, because this was an amazing time for us. And I want to thank each and every one of you who made it possible for us to go. There's a lot of people, it's a lot of expense that goes into it. And for it to be an successful trip, there's a lot of prayer that has to go into it. So I want to thank each and every one of you that helped in those ways. And as we got ready to go on this trip, I decided I was going to make a video. So when you watch the video later, don't compare it to Joseph. It's not that good. But I don't have a fancy microphone, so the audio wasn't that great. I had some interviews with some people on the first day, and versus let you try to listen to muffly audio, I just figured I'd tell you how much I enjoyed those interviews, because I got probably 6 or 7 different people when we were in the airport. A lot of them didn't want to answer, but the ones that I got to answer. And one of the things that I found so amazing is that every person had a different answer to what are you most excited about on this trip. One of them was the construction projects. One of them was getting to meet the kids. One of them was getting, now I'm blanking on what they were. But there were like 5 or 6 different ones. And it just made me realize we have a team of people where not everybody likes to do everything. Each and every one of us have different skills and different abilities, but God put together a group of different people so that when one person didn't feel like doing it and it wasn't what they were excited about, then there was somebody else that this is what they came for. And what a perfect example of the body of Christ and what that can be when we work together, when we come together, and how excited that makes me that I got to be a part of that. So for this trip, I made these snazzy t-shirts. And I know all of you are out there. It says SHBC 2019. And on the back it says, He died, He rose, we go. In 1 Corinthians 15, it was supposed to be 3 through 4, but somehow it says 3 through 5. But verse 5 is good too. And I know some of you are thinking, how can I get one of those t-shirts? I want one. Well, guess what? You get the chance. Because right now, we're going to play heads or tails. And if you win, you get to come on down and get a t-shirt. So everybody stand up, and I'll give you a quick refresh of how heads or tails works. I've got a quarter right here, and I'm going to flip it up in the air, and Lord willing, I'll be able to catch it. If not, you know, it is what it is. My coordination's never been that good. And if you think that it's going to land on heads, you put your hands on your head. If you think it's going to land on tails, well, put your hands on your tail. And we're playing this because I think we got a few extra t-shirts, but also this morning another of my goals is just to make you feel a little bit part of the trip, and this is one of the things we did. So everybody make your choices, heads or tails, you got to pick, no cheating, none of this, one on each. All right, let's see what we got. It is heads, so if your hands are on your head, you're safe. If your hands were on your tail, you have a seat. All right, here we go again, pick again. All right, everybody got it? It's heads again. All right, if you switch to tails, you got to have a seat. Here we go. Everybody picked? It's tails. If you had heads, go ahead and have a seat. Oh, we lost a lot of them on that one. All right, here we go. Heads or tails? Heads or tails? Here we go. It's heads. Oh, man. I think if you're still up, you should come on down front. Come on down. There we go. We got a few. All right. While you're walking down, be thinking about, you want to play from up here? All right, you stand right there. That's perfect. What? I got a few sizes. It can be a sleeping shirt if nothing else. Here we go. Heads or tails? Heads or tails? Everybody picked? Everybody got a pick? What's your pick? Heads. All right, there we go. It's tails. It's tails. That was close, though. That was a good try. All right, we got just a few left. Make your picks. Make your picks. Heads or tails? We got 3, 4 heads and 1 tail. It's heads. Sorry, Josh. All right. What do we got? All right. It's tails. We got all tails this time? Oh, we got two tails and one heads. It's tails. All right, we're down to two last ones. Quarters flipped. Oh, both heads. All right, we'll see what happens. It's heads. Oh, now I'll drop it. All right, let's see. We can get, oh, this time we're going to get a winner, one way or another. Here we go. It's tails. All right, congratulations. Miss Luke, come over here, and Maddie's got the sizes. She'll help you pick one out. All right, I hope you guys enjoyed that. If we have time, we got a few more t-shirts at the end. We may give you another chance. But at this time, I'm going to get the first one. I got to check my schedule, see who I put first. At this time, John Allen is going to come and share about his experience at the trip.
Hey, y'all. I don't want to say really how thankful I am to be able to go to Arizona and to really invest in the Navajo people. I just love every moment of doing that. And one of the things that I really enjoyed are the Bible clubs that we have Sunday through Wednesday, and then an open gym on Thursday. And so the team that I was with, we went to the house every day at, I think, 6 o'clock at night. And we that day of our Bible story, we did out candy, we did mini reversion and a lot of stuff like that. And the people we were sharing the gospel with were super shy. They were like really shy because they don't did a lot outside, or they don't did a lot of people coming in. So we were just, with that Southern hospitality, we were just trying to, I did be a little too friendly to them, but I think they really did enjoy it, and they started to open up as the day continue, especially on Tuesday, I believe. I got to talk to a lady, I think her name was Carla, or Kayla, I believe, and she really did open up. She talked about a lot about God, and a lot about Satan, about hell, and a lot of the really deep question that I wasn't really expecting that she would be talking about, but she did. And as I was talking to her, her older brother, Marshall, jumped into the conversation, and he had a bunch of question too. And he was like, I hope you don't mind me asking some of my question, because I actually am reading the Bible right now, and I just don't understand a lot of things, because a lot of his questions were about the Navajo culture and what the Bible says. And he was just confused on certain aspects on which one do I believe, which one is right. So I went through salvation with him. I went through how Jesus died and he rose again, and that he wanted to be his savior. And I asked him, you know, if you stand before God and there were a road leading to heaven, there were a road leading to hell, what would you say to God to allow you to go to that road leading to heaven? And usually people say, you know, my good works will get me into heaven. But he said, I don't know. I really don't know. You know, we... talking about his family, talking about his friends, we really don't think about, you know, that far ahead. We don't think about death. We don't think about, we just like kind of leave it as it is. And I gave him the illustration of what happened if, let's say you're going on a highway and you ignore the danger, you pretend the danger not there, that stop danger from happening. No, the tilde will be caused zooming a thought, and just because you put heaven and hell aside, or you put God love aside, don't mean it actually not there. So I went through all that with him, and there were a lot of moments in the conversation that he was just like, wow, I never understand that before, but he finally got it, or, well, I never thought that through, and he was engaged from the moment we started, from the moment we ended. And I asked him, you know, I gave him the open door invitation, and I was like, do you want Jesus? Do you want God? Do you want him to save you? And he was like, yes. But I went through the gospel to make sure he understand again and asked him more questions to make sure he really did understand what I was saying. And then I asked him again. He was like, yeah, I want this. And, you know, he gave his life to the Lord on Tuesday. And it was really amazing because it was probably average around 6 to 7 people we have every club night. And we didn't have a bunch of people at club, and they didn't really engage because they were so shy. So it didn't look very discouraging from that point of view, but God was working through it all, and we got to, not just me, but a lot of my other teammates, got a lot of one-on-one conversation with the people, and it was just so amazing that how God was working. And yeah, so that kind of my experience.
God's ready to work if you are. And I think that's evidence of it. And the fact that God's ready to work and he's not always working in the same way you think. Like John said, man, we came all the way out here and there's only 6 people, right? Is this really worth it all? But it is, because someone put their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And he works in big and awesome ways, and he also works in still and small ways. And we're thankful for every single one of them. And there were also some big ways that he worked on this trip. And I realize that some of you may not be super familiar, so I'm just going to give you a quick layout of how this week goes. We met here Friday morning, bright and early, dark and early, it wasn't bright yet, and got in the vans and we drove to Charlotte. We flew to Phoenix, Arizona, rented vans, and drove 7 or 8 hours or more to the station, which is you have to turn off of the paved road and drive 6 miles on a bumpy dirt road, which any of you remember, I got to know those bumpy roads last time really well. My front teeth did anyway. But thankfully that didn't happen again. And drive to the station. And then we were there at the station from when we got there on Friday, aside from going shopping, until Friday morning. And during that period of time at the mission station, Emmanuel Mission Station, we did Bible clubs, we served meals to the people, to the locals, that we invited them. They were welcome to come breakfast, lunch, or dinner and eat with us. So a lot of extra food that was prepared for that. Kudos to the kitchen people that did all that work. And then also did work projects. And so there were several different work projects that went on, and then after that, we went on Friday and we left and went to the Grand Canyon. And we were at the Grand Canyon for a day, and then we headed back to Phoenix and flew home. Now, one thing that I think is super cool about this trip is we've always done it but never quantified it. And some people did a little more, some people might have done a little less, and that's okay. But our goal was for each person on this trip to have a gospel-centered interaction with 10 people on our trip out there and 10 people on the way and 20 people on the way back. And if everybody did that, give or take, that means 750 people received a track or were told that Jesus loves them just in the travel portion of this trip. And that's an amazing thing that God can do, and I think an encouragement for me and a reminder that every day is a mission. Every day is sharing the gospel. Every day we're traveling somewhere and we're interacting with someone, and we want to make sure that we're a people that do it not just when we go out on a trip, but every single day that we live our lives. And an encouragement to me. So now I'm going to have Clayton come up and talk about his work project and his experience on the trip.
Good morning. First and foremost, I want to thank everyone who prayed for us. And I ask that you continue to pray for the seeds that were sown, not just in the folks we were able to speak with and share the gospel with, but also for the ones on the mission who are there year-round, serving the community, teaching in the schools. They really need a lot of prayer. The mission is in the poorest chapter of the Navajo Nation in Sweetwater. Some of the people on the mission call it third world-like conditions. I don't think it was third world. it was rough. They still use outhouses, but it wasn't third world. So this past trip, I saw the Lord work in a lot of different ways, specifically how he provides and answers prayer for Christians we don't even know, and how he can use other members of the body 3,000 miles away, not even intending to do what it is God has them do for a specific reason. For instance, I'm going to use myself as the example. As most of you know, I do plumbing. And this whole trip, I never had it in my mind that I was going to be doing any form of plumbing on this trip. I thought I was going to be, you know, hanging sheetrock, digging holes, whatever that they needed us to do. But it turns out, the first day we were there, John Bloom spoke with Isaac. And as they were going over the work projects, John looks over at Isaac and goes, "You happen to have a plumber with you?" And Isaac glances over at me and goes, "Yeah, I think I might know a guy." And it turns out that the Lord had a plan and a specific reason as to why he wanted me to go on this trip. And a specific reason for every single one of these people on this team. People from other chapels. The dynamic on this team wasn't just haphazard. It was orchestrated by an absolute amazing sovereign God. There's a reason why every single one of those young people went with us. And I was able to see children come out of their comfort zones, not just the kids on the reservation, but the team. I mean, to get up and to share a story, to memorize something that you've been practicing leading up to this, and then do it and be bold and see the Holy Spirit work through you, through young people who might have never done that and probably would never do it again. But to see them do that, it was awesome. It was very humbling and also very encouraging. And it goes to show how the Lord can use each and every single one of us in ways that we don't even know we can be used. So in thinking about how the Lord used all of us in different ways, I found a verse. It's Proverbs 19:21, and it says, "Many are the plans in the mind of a man, but it is the purpose of the Lord that will stand." So for me personally, I had no plans on doing any plumbing. And turns out I was able to answer many prayers. There were multiple people on the station who needed plumbing done. And the Lord used me, and I was able to be a blessing to other people. One of the missionaries, his name is Sam Davies. He's one of the teachers. And he said, "Listen, do you know how to hook up a refrigerator to run water for an ice maker?" And I was like, "Yeah, absolutely." He goes, "I need ice so that I can take these kids fishing and be able to put our fish on ice." And he goes, "I've been trying to do this for 8 months, and I have no idea what I'm doing." And I said, "Well, don't worry, I'll do it." And the Lord even used David and Robin, and we were able to go back into town, and they were able to get parts for us to do it. The Lord provided in so many small ways that sometimes we don't see until we look back on it and say, "Wow, like there's a reason why David and Robin Burton had to go back into town the next day." The fact that we were able to provide as much food as we provided for like the 30-odd extra people that weren't planned into the proportions of food, the Lord provided food and we still had leftovers. It's amazing. God still does work miracles in little ways that we don't always recognize. So I want to encourage you that whatever skills we think we might not have, the Lord is somehow going to use them. The Lord is going to use us in different ways, but you have to be sensitive to the Spirit's leading. You have to be willing to be used by the Holy Spirit to work. And I mean, who knows? You might be blessing the life and answering prayers for another Christian from around the world. And also, you know, even praying goes a long way. If that's a good skill, don't give up on that. Keep praying. We have a lot of prayer requests from members of the community and missionaries on the mission. And they are requesting and coveting our prayers. for their evangelism. They're in a dark world where they're at, and they're not always welcomed and accepted. But yet, the way that they show the love of Christ is amazing. So that's all I had. Thank you for your time.
Thank you, Clayton. So this was the fourth time that I've gone off on this trip, but there was something that was very different on this, my fourth time, and that was that I was in charge. Yeah, you're laughing because you know me. And so some of you were probably a little worried how this was going to go, but we're all back, and the only person that lost anything was my end of my dad's finger, so we did pretty well. But it was a different experience for me, for sure. Any of you who have ever taken on leading something like that, you know, when you're a member, you know it's a lot of work, but once you actually take on the work, you have a new respect for those that have done it before you, and a new hope for those that are going to do it after you. It was a lot of fun for me. It was a big growing experience for me in a different way, and I am just so thankful for the group that I had. Clayton mentioned that I sat down with John to talk about the work projects, and he said, "Do you have anybody who can do plumbing?" And like he said, I looked over at Clayton, and then he said he had this project where we wanted to frame up an addition onto a house. And he said, "Do you have anybody that can do that?" And I was like, "I really don't know. I don't think so." And he was kind of worried about that. And he said, "Well, let's pray about it," because he needed somebody to be able to do that. And then Chad Cecil, who isn't able to be here this morning, but he came in. I said, "Chad, have you ever framed anything before?" He said, "Yeah, my house." I said, "Thank you, Lord." And he was able to go and lead that work project. Like Clayton said, God works in little ways, and he puts people in certain places. And I want to tell you that this morning, God has you in a certain place. And he has you in a certain time period. And he has you interacting with certain people to fulfill his will and to glorify the Lord God our Father on this earth. And make sure that you are ready and willing and able to do those things. One thing that happened that at first was a little flustering as a leader is we got there late Friday night. And one of the ladies that works on the mission, she said, "Hey, there's this women's conference at a church a little ways away that if any of the ladies want to go to, that would be good." And logistically, it was a nightmare, trying to figure out what van could go where, and we needed to go shopping, and these girls needed to go shopping, and all this kind of stuff. But me and the other leaders, we felt like this would be a good experience for the girls. And let me tell you, when they got back, I hate that it was a women's conference. If you get the chance, talk to one of the ladies that went on this trip, because they got to go into a part of Navajo culture that nobody gets to go into. Nobody gets to experience, and got to hear teaching and interact with those people and learn a bunch of Navajo words, and just a really, really cool experience that you don't get from going to the different landmarks. And they have things that they could share with that. I may share one story that was shared with me, but right now, for sake of time, I'm going to go ahead and have Sean come up. If Sean's coming up, I want to say there's some people on this trip that I've known really well. I've known my whole life, and there's some people I just knew in name. Sean was one of those people. If you only know Sean in name, you're missing out. Get to know this kid.
First of all, I just wanted to say thank you for all your prayers, because I didn't get motion sick at all during the airplane or the 8-hour bus ride. When we were at the airport, we were handing out tracts. It was pretty scary for me because this was my first time. When we were at the Grand Canyon, I was handing out tracts. While I was handing out tracts, I met a few Asian sensations. I was like, "Do you speak English?" They're like, "No English." So then I asked them, "Do you speak Chinese?" And I got to practice my Chinese a little bit, which was rough. When we got there at Emmanuel Mission, we were assigned different projects. I was on the playground crew with Isaac, Dane, Ethan, and Levi, and Mal, which is not here, unfortunately. We had to dig like 5 inch of dirt, and then we got to put rubber mulch, and then that's for one of them. Then we were on the tire swing, dig probably another 5-inch to level it out and put wood mulch. And that was for 2 days. And then the next 2 days, we move a bunch of stuff, build a wall, which is nice. And then we have kids club where we sing, and then we tell Bible story, memory verse, and missionary story, and then we sing again, and we play games with the kids. After the kids club, I talked to a Navajo person. His name is Jimmy. At first, I thought he was saved because he know the gospel. He know a lot. But then after we came back to Emmanuel Mission, his sister told us that he's not saved. He go to a Catholic church. So the next day I went back and asked him a bunch of questions like, do you believe in good works? And he's like, yeah. It's like in his culture way that he believes in good works. So then I share him 2 Ephesians 2:8, for by grace are we saved through faith, and not out of ourselves, is the gift of God, lest any man should boast. But he's like, mumbo is like, this is our culture, we had to do it this way. But I feel like I didn't prepare enough for that. I didn't know how to. I did share the gospel and share my testimony. I planted the seed, and then after we left, I gave him a book of John and a tract on knowing God personally, but just keep praying for him. And I had to keep praying for him too, because I don't know if he's truly saved or not. He says he is. Every time I ask him, do you believe God as your personal savior? He's like, yes, but we know that he's not truly saved. That's my experience on this trip. Thank you.
Now, when I was in charge of putting who on which work projects, I don't know why I decided to put myself on the playground crew, because moving 5 inches of dirt from a giant playground area out of it is not the most fun thing in the world. I think that moving, when he came out and said, move this pile from here to there, I was like, all right, let's do it. We did it. And then I was like, thank goodness we don't have to use shovels anymore. And then every time we finished a pile, he just said, all right, now move this from there to there. Now move this from there to there. But the end result was a playground that could be used and met the criteria for the preschool that they're opening there at the school. The local preschool had to shut down, lost funding and things of that sort. And so there was no preschool option for the kids in that area. And so now, by a little bit of our labors and a lot of other people's as well, they're able to be one step closer to being able to have that preschool as the school year starts out coming up. So we're thankful that we were able to work, even though it may have been extremely hard, physically hard and tedious job. It made me think of one of the devotions that was shared. It was actually Chad when he was speaking. He was talking about when Abraham went and was chopping the wood to sacrifice Isaac. He'd been given the command to go and sacrifice his son, and he went and chopped the wood for the sacrifice. And he said, what was his attitude like when he was chopping that wood? What was he thinking when he was physically having to work hard and also thinking about what God had told him to do, and it wasn't on his top 10 list of things to do? It wasn't on any of his list of things to do. And yet, Abraham had faith in God. And I think it's even possible that he chopped it with joy because he knew God was going to work. He didn't know how, but he knew he was. And so as we swung pickaxes and moved shovels, I kept asking myself, ask some of the other guys, like, what is our attitude when we're serving God, even when it's not our favorite thing to do? Because we should be excited, because we know we serve a God that's going to do great and awesome things. And now I want to get Josh to come up and talk a little bit about all the different work projects and his experience.
Morning. So yeah, we had 4 or 5 different work projects. We had the addition to the trailer, and we had, we had the playground, moving mulch and rubber mulch. We had the bus barn, that's what we called it. That's what I was on. And we had painting and building shelves for a room, I think. So there was four different groups, and me and Jacob were our own group. It was only us two. And we were in charge of, well, and Kevin. Kevin was a bus mechanic. He was with us too. And we had to move a bunch of metal and a bunch of old bus parts that he didn't need and load up on a trailer. And the first day on Monday, we actually didn't do that. We went to a church that was about 30 minutes away on dirt road, 30, 45 minutes away. And we replaced some burst pipes that had burst over the winter. And we had to do that. And we had to actually go back the next day to replace another part on Tuesday. And then on Tuesday, we had started gathering all the metal, everything that he could have kept, maybe for old use for other buses, like mirror mounts and stuff. And we got all the drive shafts together and the old starters he couldn't use, and we put those on a trailer so he could take to a junkyard and or get money for the metal and stuff. We did that on Tuesday and Wednesday. And then, well, towards the end of Wednesday and Thursday, we started trimming down trees and stuff. And it was only me and Jacob and Kevin, but it actually, on, Wednesday and Thursday, there was Kevin's kids and some of the local Navajo kids that lived on the reservation and kind of close to it. And they helped out, and that was kind of a good experience because we could interact with them and get to know them a little bit better and talk to them. So that was a blessing to do, even though it was only us. And we, you know, trimmed down the trees, and we got all the brush out the way. That was where the buses were parked. But yeah, it was better than, the heat was better than North Carolina because there's no humidity over there, and all the sweat just dries off you, and you get sunburned and don't realize it. So I got like third-degree burn while I was there. But yeah, definitely a good experience. I love doing the work projects. But yeah, this is my second time on the trip, and I absolutely loved it, and I hope we do it again. So.
Did want to mention, he's off visiting his family right now, but Joe Cardillo was able to come with us too, and he volunteered. He got there early because he drove out there, and he volunteered to take the living room. I don't think he realized how loud it was going to be at nights. But he made it through the week with us, and hopefully he'll have good things to tell you. You heard about a lot of the harder work projects, and they're all important, but some of them were inside too. And so there was some replacing tile, some painting, some sheetrocking, and working in the kitchen and stuff. And so we're going to show you a video, just give you a little synopsis of all that went out. You'll probably hear some laughter down front. Feel free to join with them. And I just want you to, as you watch this, as you've heard the testimonies of these people, be thinking about the next time that a trip comes up through here or through other means. And I want to encourage you to take a step out in faith, to take a step out in financial faith and spiritual faith, and go out and do it. Go out and be part of what God's doing, because he has something that he wants you to do. And some of you may say, I'm past that point. And maybe you are, maybe you're not. But if you are, continue to pray. Continue to be part of it. And I think that if there's anything that I learned on this trip, and I've said it before, but I'll say it again, is that each person has something to give, and God has a plan for it. And if you come, no matter what your hindrances you might feel are, or what your strengths you think are, God's got something that he's wanting to do with you. And make sure you let him do it. Make sure you let him do it. We're going to watch a video now, and then I'll come up and close us in prayer.
this one. It's just a 100-year-old worship song, all right? So just think of it that way. A barn burner. I guarantee you're going to know it. I heard an old story, how a Savior came from glory, how he gave his life on Calvary to save a wretch like me. I heard about his groaning, of his precious blood's atoning. Then I repented of my sin and won the victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is to him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood. I heard about his healing, of his cleansing power revealing. He made the lame to walk again and caused the blind to see. And then I cried, dear Jesus, come and heal my broken spirit. And somehow Jesus came and brought to me the victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is to him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood. Savior forever. He sought me and bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is to him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood. He plunged me to victory.
Swing low, sweet Caroline, come Clayton Chat. I'm sometimes up and sometimes down, and sometimes I feel
a.m. wake up was for those who wanted to hike the Grand Canyon. And by hike the Grand Canyon, I mean from 5 a.m. to 1 p.m., they hiked in and out 12 miles. So they were the bold few, but they've seen the part of the Grand Canyon a lot of us never will. I have, though, not this time, but I have done it twice. It's a fun trip. And then 2 a.m., that was a lesson as a leader. The flight leaving Phoenix needs to leave later than 5 a.m., just future. But, you know, you live and you learn. But I hope that encourages you, and I hope that you leave knowing that we serve a God who is doing stuff. We serve a God who is saving people, and we're in a church that is serving our Savior, and let's do it together. Let's pray. Lord, thank you so much for this day that you've given us. I thank you for the opportunity that these 26 people had to go out to Tisnos Pass, Arizona, to the Sweetwater community and share the gospel. Lord, I pray for every tract that we handed out on the way there and on the way back, for those that we interacted with. Lord, I ask that you would even now speak to their hearts, that if those tracts are laying there, stuck in a pocket, or laying on a countertop, that they would pick them up and read them today, Lord. And that today, even now, there will be people being saved because your people are being obedient, Lord, that even things that we won't find out until the Bema seat. I ask that you would continue to use that, that you would bless the people that went on this trip, that you would bless them for their efforts, that you would bless the people that prayed for this trip, for the people that gave to this trip. Lord, that you would bless this entire church as we go forward, trying to honor and glorify you in all that we say and do. In your son's name, amen.